I usually avoid the big headline in these opening reads, but sometimes it is the issue, and I want to say it out loud as well. Please help support those in need by whatever means you're able. Tonight, we're covering a bundle supporting a memorial fund for Uvalde victims. Many can give blood, plasma, etc., and plenty of other media outlets have their suggestions available as well. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to provide further information on this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 916 of our show. It matches the area code where we're based here in Sacramento, episode 916 of our show for tonight, May the 29th of 2022. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's a long weekend. But we're still here. I'm here, Rob Roberts, and I am joined by, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hi, Dark Sakura, how are you?
Pretty tired.
Yeah.
I moved a shelf and probably shouldn't have.
That happened to me a couple weeks ago because an electrician came by because, you know, we're in a new house and something was going on with one of the circuits. And he was like, I can't move that. So I had to move this big old shelving. It's the one that you brought over, the shelving thing. It's big, but I had to move it by myself so the guy could move back
it's
there.
It's not that heavy.
It was heavy enough for one person. So I hurt my
Ryan
back.
Ryan and I moved it out. So
that's two people. I had one person.
Yeah. But I also have moved one of those around by myself, a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
Yeah. Let's say hello as well to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. What is this game behind you tonight?
I was searching for another long play video to play, and I saw that they had one for Little Britain. I didn't realize there was a Little Britain game, but now there is, and you can experience it.
Wow,
behind me.
Me neither. There you go. I'm assuming it was one of those shovelware titles on the Wii.
PlayStation 2. Oh. It was way before the Wii.
All right.
And apparently, it was trying to. Yeah, I remember actually when this came out. I was watching Little Britain.
Oh yeah, I remember the show. The fact they made a game.
No, they were
out of
marketing
it.
All kinds of stuff on it in the UK.
Wow. All right, and here I thought the British invasion on consoles was done with Spice World on the PlayStation 1. No, but this is Spice World is unironically a good game. This.
Oh, come on. There's also Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. No, I'm sure there's plenty of others. I'm just.
And there was the Monty Python's Complete Waste of Time.
Oh, sure. All right. There's some other stuff I guess we got
to
keep an eye on.
There was also supposed to be a Doctor Who game on the NES that never made out a prototype.
Really? I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, I went looking for the ROM dump of it last night, but I haven't had any luck.
Well, there's some fun ROM dumps that came out this week, but we'll get to that later in the show. For now, we're going to start off tonight's show. A bit of difficult news because it ties into things that are going on in the real world. But obviously, all of the news that came out of Texas with the school shooting is horrific and horrible. And I could probably spend a whole 3 hours going off on that. I'm not going to, though. There's a bundle that's coming out to try to help folks to try to do something, to raise money. If I remember right, it's a charity for the school that was impacted and trying to get some of the folks there some mental health treatment and maybe pay for some things that it might be a little harder to come by otherwise. So it's an itch.io bundle. And it's for it's called the Bundle for Uvalde, and it's got a variety of NES ROM games in it. But I think we all know the reason why I'm bringing it up on this show. Loki, is there anything you would care to say about this bundle?
Yeah, so this bundle was one that Nate Peters, who also does NES dev stuff, he has a game Doodle World, which actually should be coming out on the Switch here pretty soon. So he put it together where it's a bunch of just basically trying to get any itch.io creators to come together to put together a bundle of games for the Uvalde, the Rob School Memorial Fund. So It's got my game, Pixel Hoops number 2, in there. There's lots of other NES games in there as well. So if you're a fan of the NES, there's tons and tons of homebrew games. So we have like Doodle World, She-Ra and the 40 Thieves, Nyx the Paradox Relic, Turtle Paint, which is kind of fun. It's a little Mario Paint game. Lots and lots of NES games in there. So there's actually a total of like 34 items in there. I think most of these are games. There's also, I think, some other like asset packs and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Not your, you know, 1,000 game bundles that you had for like, you know, some of the other things, but it's still, it's nice. It's $10, or, you know, anything else you want to donate to that. Mm-hmm. And then you get everything. So yeah. The price of my game, you get my game and lots of other games are probably better than mine.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Well, I'm not saying yes to that, but yes to the quote-unquote deal. It shouldn't be about the deal, but I get it. The deal is what gets people's attention for the worthy cause. And like you said, for the cost of your game, you can now pick up a lot of NES games and a lot of similar type of games of creators that went in there and made their own NES titles. And as pointed out by you and other folks in chat, some other collections like asset titles, some tabletop RPGs and so forth. And again, for an important cause that sucks that we have to have this cause, but we do. People are trying to help. So this is good. And I know you were trying to get in a previous charity bundle and you were kind of wondering like, how do I get in on one of these bundles? But here you go. You got in on one. So,
yep. Congrats. So I went through that process. It's pretty easy.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. And how long does that bundle run for?
It's running for the week. So it's going to be ending in about 6 days. So I think the end of this week.
Nice. Going to our chat room, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, at VOG Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network. And you can find us there. We have our live chat room who makes comments such as Bobby Blackwolf, ironically says just picked it up for $25. Excellent. Excellent. I haven't picked it up yet, but I will. I want to help y'all reach your goal, which I'm sure you'll have no problem reaching as word about this gets out. So that's awesome. And Dark Tetsuya saying, I heard Loki was trying to get his game in there. Yeah, well, if you follow Loki on Twitter, you sometimes get some insight. Definitely signal boosted that one on Twitter and just picked it up myself. Awesome. And I hope us mentioning it on the show brings a little more awareness and maybe a few more people will pick it up. That would be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Before we get into our headline tonight, Dark Sakura, I know you had been texting me the other day about another charity effort going on that you wanted to bring attention to, and I figure now is as good of a time as any.
I mean, it's going to be over at 10 o'clock today, but there's fundraisers actually ongoing for one of people in our general Dead by Daylight and other streaming games community on Twitch, Pansexual Pirate. Has a heart condition and isn't in the best shape. Money is being raised for medical treatment and or post costs that might come about. Really, really just fun personal around, and I hate that they're going through this, but I have a link for those in chat to a pinned post that shows where donations and contact can be made. If you go on Twitter, it's TTV Pan PIR number 8. And you can get more information there.
So yeah, even maybe after tonight, I'm sure there'll still be a way to contribute to that for those that don't hear this until Monday or Tuesday. So if you're feeling so generous and can help somebody out. I know Dark Sakura, that you have increased your participation in the Twitch community tenfold over the past year and a half, you know, with your own channel and streaming and so forth. And just again, I know I've joked about this on a previous OLR, but I can't go into a Dead by Daylight streamer's channel and not run into you. But
specifically,
I mean,
lately you can't go into Nick's channel.
Yeah, but it's just because you and I just both like Nick a friend, I consider Nick a friend. Like, we've met him, we've hung out, you know,
we hang out with the same people.
Exactly. So it's like one of those, like, you know, yeah, of course we're gonna run into each other there. So but that's not the only one where we run into each other. So but my point is just, you know, to kind of show in a lighthearted way that, like, you know, you do become friends with these streamers.
Yeah, you really do
make room in your heart for them. You do, you know, start to get to know them very well. And so when somebody's going through something very difficult, you want to do whatever you can to help. So I get it. Mike Deft in chat says that's me in Pokemon streams. And yeah, it might be related to a specific game. It also might not be. It might be just, you know, a particular personality that you enjoy or what have you. So yeah, it's very interesting how Twitch has really impacted gaming culture, specifically since the pandemic started, really. I mean, I know Twitch was already pretty big before then, but I really think the pandemic just accelerated it even more, if you know what I mean. And really, like, that was just even more so the way we saw people many times. So
yeah.
All right, let's move on to our kickoff topic headline for tonight, which has to do with a pretty big significant move in the industry for a AAA studio. So this isn't the first time this has happened, but it's the first time it's happened at a AAA studio. Loki, you want to get into what happened this week?
Yeah, so basically, it's the least evil thing they could do. So Phil Spencer said that Microsoft will recognize the Raven Software Union once the acquisition deal of Activision closes. Mm-hmm. So they're going to actually recognize them, basically saying, hey, listen, once we acquire them, we're not, I don't know, like, Activision's actively trying to stop the union.
Exactly. And it's important to say Monday was the day that Raven voted for the union to happen.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's the first bit of it, is that I don't have the vote in front of me. It was something like 26-3 or something like that. I may have gotten that wrong. Sorry. I just don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was pretty overwhelming. You had a few people that voted no, but the vast majority voted yes. Even in light of Activision's attempt to kind of union bust in their own way, I think they kind of had to scale it back once the general public has been paying attention to everything that they do. But there's definitely documented emails and efforts and things that happened right around the time, you know, all they were first in the news for all the reasons, you know, we've been talking about them lately, with some open union busting and, you know, hiring people that work there that have been known for working with union busting organizations. Those efforts failed with Raven having unionized this week. And so I think it's a little bit significant for Phil Spencer, Microsoft, to come in and say, you know, even though Activision was engaging in the process of union busting, Raven or Microsoft will acknowledge Raven's union. Because they certainly won't be the last.
Right. And Phil Spencer basically said that Linda Norman and I have been spending a lot of time educating myself on unions. We absolutely support employees' right to organize and form unions. Once the deal closes, we'd absolutely support employees' organization in the place. We think it's a right of employees and something that can be a part of the relationship between a company and people who work at the company. So it doesn't sound like they're going to stand their way. Hopefully their actions follow that.
Right. It's interesting, too, to hear Phil Spencer say he has to educate himself on unions. It kind of makes you stop and realize, oh, because Microsoft isn't. And you know, all these other studio, how many studios did Microsoft swoop up in the last 10 years? Double digits, at least. They haven't had to deal with this before. So I would gather Phil Spencer probably doesn't just have to educate himself on this for Raven's purposes, but probably for where other studios are going to go in the coming years. I think it's going to be a wave that moves quicker rather than, you know, slowly. We'll see.
Yeah.
But it also probably shows how much misinformation is spread around in the corporate world about unions anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we know that there's many companies that will have you watch videos that is basically anti-union stuff, because Kotaku or one of their sister sites had that Target training video from the early 90s, because the irony was it used union actors. And they had a whole story about it and that. So, but there's a Target video that went through that. And you can watch it if you want to see for yourself, like, what the, you know, propaganda is. Walmart absolutely has something similar, and so on and so on. You definitely also point out that this is not something unique to just the gaming industry. Starbucks, we've heard a lot of buzz about that lately. Granted, this is a video game podcast, so we don't talk about those usually, but it's where you see a lot of industries headed right now, not just the gaming industry, but I think we all know why the gaming industry needs it, right?
Yeah. Because the conditions aren't great. Mm-hmm. There was a comment from Reggie Fils-Aimé, mm-hmm. who was interviewed by, I believe, the Washington Post, basically saying, you know, he made a comment about, I don't even know how it came up, but, you know, I've worked in industries that have had high levels of unionization. This is not a bad or good thing. It is a situation as a leader, as an executive, that you need to manage to just like any other challenge or issue or opportunity that you face. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, that doesn't... Cool that he thinks that.
Yeah,
he's
not
really like at a game company right now, so it's like... Eh.
Yeah, Reggie isn't at a game company anymore, so it doesn't really... It sounds harsh. It doesn't really matter what he thinks. However, I still think he holds a lot of influence in this industry.
Sure.
I think he knows it, too. You know, as he's going on this book tour, I think people listen to what he has to say just from his insight, having been at Nintendo. And, of course, Nintendo has been in the spotlight recently as well. We've heard a lot of talk, especially when it comes to the contractors. Yeah. We've had a lot of talk about that. So, you know, they've been in the spotlight as well. I do find that interesting that Reggie does have that perspective. And we have to remember, he wasn't always at Nintendo. He came from... I know he had been at Panda Express for a while. VH1, wasn't it? Or something like that? So certainly in the VH1 television industry, you had all sorts of unions, right? You deal with the Screen Actors Guild, the Writers Guild, all of it, dealing with that. So, yeah, he probably did have that experience. So Dr. Tsuya says, I think Little Caesars as well. And I don't know the man's entire resume, but I do know Nintendo was the first gaming company he was at, as far as I remember. So, yeah. That's just interesting. So we'll see. Do you think more companies are set to unionize in the near future? Do you think we're going to have another AAA studio by the end of the year, we'll say?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so. I think what we're hearing from Phil Spencer, I think will probably mobilize another Microsoft studio. And I think Activision Blizzard itself will end up here in a matter of time. So we'll see. All right. Let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks in a segment we call How Was Your Gaming Week? So, Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I've played some Dead by Daylight. I played Terranigma.
Mm-hmm.
I've played some of that word game that I play too. It's just been kind of, especially after having the big pinball thing, I've just sort of been like, I kind of don't feel like playing anything. Mm-hmm. So just my usual. Then, of course, I had my COVID booster, my second one on Tuesday.
Oh.
And I've been really freaking tired. So it's sort of like, do I really want to deal with all of this? No. But I played a little bit here and there, although I did have to cancel my stream on Thursday for just being way too pooped.
Well, yeah, the booster will knock you out sometimes. Just dependent. It depends on the person.
I was surprised that Saturday I still felt like crap, but better now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It's just Minecraft. It's just getting ready for things to come, I guess. You know, starting another S&P pretty soon. So just getting all prepared for that.
Mm. I saw you put out another video, though. Plug.
Put out another video. Yeah. So, like, still trying to get it down to weekly stuff. I need to have more of my hardcore series I got to film. And then I've got to put out a tutorial for a copper farm that I put together. So, because I've been promising to do that and been putting it off. So I need to do that as well. I'm very busy. I also need to finish the hardcore series, hopefully around the time. Because the new update for Minecraft, the 1.19 update's on the 7th. So it's right around the
And what are they? Yeah. What are they adding in that for those of us not as in the loop?
So it's called the Wild Update. It's basically they've got a couple new biomes in there. So the big one is, of course, the Deep Dark and the ancient cities that are in there. And they have a new kind of, it's not really a boss monster, but it's like a pretty tough monster to go up against, which is the Warden. And so they have that. They're also adding mangrove swamps. So they're kind of redoing the swamps a little bit to make them more interesting because swamps are really terrible before. And frogs. Frogs are in there now. So that's kind of cool. They poop out lights because that's what frogs do. They make lights with their butt. According
I learned
to
something today. All right.
A world to live in.
What a world. My gaming week. I have been a little busy. I hosted another show last night. It was really good. So can't complain about spending the hours on that. But it's a very typical Rob gaming week. Played some Final Fantasy 14, of course. Doing the new raid with there's a 24 man raid that I've been doing with my friends, and then the 8-man raid, the last one. You kind of do it every week for a token to upgrade your weapons. So I've been working on that as well. Otherwise, still working on my Reaper, leveling that class, which was one of the new classes they brought out with Endwalker. My Reaper just hit 81, so I can start doing the new dungeons like Tower of Zot and stuff like that. It's so fun to refer to Tower of Zot and Tower of Babel as like new dungeons when they are influenced by Final Fantasy IV, so it's kind of fun. Also, I've been playing No Man's Sky. Not a big shock, because you know I really enjoy that game. However, and I'm sorry, Loki, because I know you have a headline on this later, but I'll just kind of briefly say they added a new expedition into the game. So I've been playing that, and I was streaming it a little bit, a couple of nights anyway. And the interesting thing about it is that it's kind of a roguelike, so it encourages you to die and start the loop over. So when I did the first night stream was about 2.5 hours, and I died right at the beginning because you're supposed to. It's actually one of the achievements is dying. But then I died probably about 2.5 hours into it because there was a nasty surprise. I'm just going to spoiler alert, but you'll thank me later. There is a nasty surprise at the end of the first part of the exit. So when you're doing the first phase, you get to a part where you have to activate what looks like a gravestone. It's one of the little Atlas looking things. You activate it. What I was not prepared for were that the scorpion aliens that also show up when you steal eggs showed up to kick my ass, and that's how I died. But like any good roguelike, you learn from what you did the first time. And the second time, I got through it in 1 hour and 40 minutes, and I knew what to expect, so they didn't kill me the second time. Haha. So I got a little further on my second stream that I did on Friday night. I don't know what is time anymore. So I got a little further and, but I wrapped it up there cause it was starting to get late. So, oh yeah. And then the game bugged out on me, which it's not No Man's Sky if it doesn't get buggy somewhere, but I went into a pirate outpost and it was all white. There was no color. Every shape, every texture was just pure white. And I was like, did I go to heaven? Did I die? Like what happened? And I was like, you know what? This is a good time to quit. And so I did. But I'll stream that again maybe tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing for the holiday yet, so maybe a little bit tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know when I feel like it. Also, though, I did play something new. So it wasn't just the same old stuff. I played something new, but it was old. And what I mean is I played Pac-Man Museum Plus because that just came out on Xbox Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you can just download it. Otherwise, I think it's on all the other, you know, platforms you'd expect it to be on. And I say it's new old because it is a collection of some older Pac-Man games, such as the original Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man, Pac-and-Pal, which sucks. I'm just going to be like, Pac-and-Pal is probably the worst Pac-Man game. Like it sucks. Pac-Land, Pac-Mania, but then it gets some more of the more recent titles in there too. Pac-Man 256, which is only about 5 years old, is in there as well. Pac-Man Championship Edition is in there as well. Not in there, Ms. Pac-Man, but there's rights stuff going on. This is the game where they changed Ms. Pac-Man and some of the other games to, what was her name? Pac-Mom? Pac-Wife?
Oh, right. That's
Pac-Mommy?
Right.
Will you be my Pac-Mommy? I don't...
She's a strong, independent woman.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know who she is now, but she's not Ms. Pac-Man. She's Pac-Mistress.
She doesn't need to explain herself to anybody.
She doesn't. She doesn't need to introduce herself to anyone. She just and what is it? She doesn't have a bow in her hair. She has something else. A hat? I don't remember what
a
it
bee
is.
In her bonnet?
I don't remember now.
Does she have a bonnet? Does it contain bees? Or some sort of insect?
Thank you, Orange Wright. She has a hat. is confirming she's, instead of a bow, she has a hat, and it's
hat
pack
confirmed.
It's pack mom. Hat confirmed, mom confirmed.
Pack hat confirmed. Docker
pack mom. Rock'em sock'em pack mom.
So, see, all these games you all are saying would be amazing if Pac-Man would go there, but, you know, we're not getting it. Instead, we get Pac-in-Time. Yes, we get that. Pac-Man arrangement, which is actually kind of cool. The whole thing is encased in this, inspired by Animal Crossing, I would guess, museum, because you actually get to lay out the museum. And as you play the games, you get the little cabinets that you can place throughout the museum. As you get achievements, your little ghost friends show up in the museum as well. There's a little gotcha mechanic where you know, and it's based off a real thing where you get the little figurines and you can put the figurines in. So it very much has an Animal Crossing inspired element. It's not that deep. Like, it's not Animal Crossing. It's not that deep, but it's cute. Sorry, your audio is not coming through for some reason, Darksucker. What?
I said ghost friends. I don't know her.
Exactly. Well, I'm used to getting ghosted, so why not have my ghost friends there? But the only thing that bugged me at first was I was like, this is such a pain in the ass to find the game I want to play. Like, because like all of the like Pack 256 and Championship Edition are over at the free game, and then you get coins in the free game to play. Okay. But I learned really quick, so pro tip, if you're going to start Pac-Man Museum Plus, if you just hit the start button, you get a list of everything and you can just pick what you want to play. It's much easier. However, some things are still locked. So, like, I couldn't play Super Pac-Man, underrated Pac-Man in my opinion, until I played original Pac-Man twice, which isn't that hard to do. Then I could play Super Pac-Man. I couldn't play Pac-and-Pal, overrated Pac-Man, until I played Pac-Land twice. So there are some weird little unlocks like that, but they're not particularly difficult. So I guess it's just to try to get you to play a little bit of everything. So cute, I guess. That was my game of week. Dark Tetsuya says, okay, that is kind of neat. I do miss the Namco Museum atmosphere of just walking around to the really chill music and looking at the exhibits. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. Like, honestly, has there been a Namco collection as good as that PlayStation 1 collection? I don't think so. I really don't. I would love, I don't see this happening, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's a podcast. I would love for the entire NAMCO trademark, all of those games, to be re-released in one fucking massive arcade collection. Released on like PS4, 5, Xbox, Switch. I don't give a shit. Just something modern. I would love all of that. That would be so cool. Dark Sakura, you're a Namco fan. I am quite confident you already own the entire Namco Museum on PS1. But would you be into something like I'm suggesting?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It would all depend on factors. Many factors.
Dark Tetsuya says, I know there were a couple on PlayStation 2 that had a good chunk of those. That is true. And actually, how could I forget? I didn't forget. I'm going to bring it up. But actually, the Namco collection they had on PlayStation 3, while it didn't have as many games on it, I don't know if you all remember, OLR has a cameo in that game. Somebody on the inside, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, is a fan of OLR. And in the loading screen or something like that, one of the like tutorial screens will say, what is, you look at the high, it says you can compete with your friends online. And it actually shows a high score table. And if you look at the high score table, it says like the initials are like OLR. And then it says like Sky, which is the name I was on Twitter for a long time, Dark Sakura, Loki. So like our names are in it. And then I think Tingle is on there. No, it says Tangle or something like they changed the name slightly of Tingle from you know Zelda because they obviously can't use that, but it was something like adjacent. So if you didn't already know that extra name that was on it was supposed to be like Tingle, back to the old in joke of having Loki dress up in a Tingle costume. Yeah, they did something like Tinkle or something where it was just slightly different, but it, close enough.
It was enough.
Yeah. It was enough to make my little heart happy. And I will say, you know, we're coming up on 20 years of OLR, right? Reminder, June 26th. If you kind of ask, going back 20 years of OLR, like, what is one of your, like, greatest achievements? I would say when we showed up in a game like that, even though it was something small, it was something subtle to me. And that's not the only one either, but I'll let you find the others. The fact that we showed up in a game like that, like, just meant the world. That was very much like a holy shit. Like,
that was the we kind of made it moment.
Yeah, that was like the we made it kind of thing. Like, and you notice not even the podcast award, which was cool too, don't get me wrong, but like that was the moment where it was like, oh shit, now we're in the game. Now we're in the game. That was the moment. That really was. And then, of course, and Bobby Blackwolf says even YYR wouldn't put me in his games. I thought there was supposed to be a villain named Blackwolf in one of the games. Maybe I made that up. But maybe it was in a different OLR Dream
Your
game.
Headcanon there.
But that was certainly the other, when YYR actually did Bungie Ferret Tossing. But that came second, if I remember right. When YYR actually did Bungie Ferret Tossing, and that was like a whole game available on the 360 at the time, that was made out of an OLR in-joke, that was like the same type of thing where it was like, holy shit. Like,
that was the moment.
That's it's meta. It's where the gaming podcast became a game, sort of. So I love it. So those are just some, like, those are definitely like some highlights. So yeah, just always very thrilling. So, all right. There was supposed to be another, I got to go look that up. I don't know if the game came out or what, but anyway, I was alerted to keep my eyes out and ears open, but that's all I'll say for now. All right. before I get in trouble I don't want to get anyone else in trouble either, for sure. So anyway,
I better hear about this, offline.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's get into some more news. However, a lot going on in the industry. Let's get to Loki.
Yes, it's like we get so many different things. Well, most of the stories we've heard about Netflix recently about what are they canceling. So it's nice to know what's something that's being worked on, I guess, that's coming at some point. But Horizon Zero Dawn apparently is going to be coming to Netflix as a series of some sort. So that's pretty cool. Obviously, I don't know if they have any sort of timeline in mind for that, but yeah, that would be very interesting, I think, if they do it right. But I don't know,
like a big if.
Yeah, it would be hard to, it's a good property to do it, but like for example, you know, don't do what Paramount Plus did with Halo. You know, actually have people that are making the project play the games and be familiar with the games and not just go, well, I want to make my own thing in a sci-fi world with dinosaur robots. You know, have someone somewhat competent put that together, please.
Yeah. Questbuster in chat says that Twitch.tv/VOG Network says, I can only hope they do it justice. Well, that's what any gaming fan wants, is they want their franchise to be done justice. Like, I don't know, like when I look at the 90s Mortal Kombat movie, as much as people dislike that movie for various reasons, I sort of look at it and I go, but it did the games justice. Like the 90s games were cheesy, you know, and it did do justice, I think, to the series. And I think that's why gamers kind of forgive that movie. And I'm not talking about the newer Mortal Kombat, which I personally didn't see yet anyway, because it came out at the height of the pandemic. And
it was pretty good too.
Was it? I just didn't see it. But yeah,
it doesn't have that cheesy charm as like the 90s one, but like, yeah, it's still pretty good.
Yeah. And then also, I'm thinking of Silent Hill. Like, you know, I think like Dark Soccer, I know you feel the same way I did, where it's like a lot of people didn't like the movie, but I thought it was great. Like, especially for a gaming movie.
Sequel.
Yeah. Oh, well,
I have not seen the sequel yet.
The sequel is not as warmly received.
Great.
But you probably cut it a lot more slack because it does justice for you to the games. You know,
it's based off of Silent Hill 3, so that's why I like it.
Now, Fenara,
which is my favorite.
Yeah. Fenara in chat says, hopefully by the same kind of people who did The Witcher bit, even though they were pulling more from the books than the games. Yeah. I mean, even though The Witcher, yeah, technically it's based on the books, I think we all know the games are hugely influential to the show, and so forth. And honestly, The Witcher and the games, I think, are why, and the success of the TV show are why we're seeing now Horizon Zero Dawn. We know Final Fantasy 14 got picked up at some point, which I think was also by The Witcher Group, actually. So I'm Can I tell you how fucking the Final Fantasy 14? Oh God, if they do it right, if they actually give like each, I don't know if they're going to tell the same story, but like if they actually give each expansion like its own season, it's the Shadowbringers and the Endwalker seasons are going to be so good. I could cry. Like please like do it as long as they do it justice. That's for sure. So there's that. And then I think, we know Mass Effect got changed from the movie. It was supposed to be 10 years ago or something to now it's going to be a series. And that's a whole thing too. So yeah, just all, and now of course Halo had a series for better or for worse. Yes. And just all this stuff is getting picked up for series now. So it's interesting how much video games is now impacting the TV world. So, and then of course anime, right? So, Castlevania and the anime was very well received. And there's other games that are going that route as well. So
yeah. Even like I hear the Cuphead show's all right.
Oh, is it? I totally forgot that came out, but yeah, that's
my
out
kids.
Too.
My son watched, he binged the whole thing really fast. So oh, nice. Like, I don't know. He apparently enjoyed it.
Yeah. I need to watch the new Stranger Things that just came out just in time for when I canceled Netflix.
Well, there's that. And then I have to watch, you know, I'm not a huge fan of like Star Wars stuff. I need to watch the new Obi-Wan series.
Mm.
I watched a little bit of it with Dan, and I'm sorry, Leia is sassy and I love her. Little Leia is the best.
Wait, they have like a new Leia?
Well, this is set like before her adulthood.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Like
get
at
it.
Right after Order 66,
young Obi-Wan, like just after like the
looks more like
the prequels,
middle age Obi-Wan.
Okay, I get it, because I was like, Carrie Fisher cannot be replaced, and I feel bad for whoever that actress is. But okay,
this kid does her justice.
Okay, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. And yeah, child is a different scenario. Yeah, so okay, yeah. That's neat.
Honestly, her attitude makes me think of what was her name in Chair of Swords that was the little girl who led the one of the northern
clans? Is it Arya Stark? Because is that
not Arya?
I don't remember her
Lyanna?
Name. But yeah,
it was an L name.
I know who you're talking about.
I don't know
about.
Mormont. I don't know the Dragon soap opera. I don't guess the wrong person.
But
it's a good show aside from the last.
She's a badass 10-year-old.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm hopeful the Horizon Zero Dawn show will not suck. Because again, I didn't beat the new game or the first game, but I enjoyed what I played in the first game. I actually need to go back and beat it. Like it was good enough for me to go back and play through at some point. But you know, there's just so many games to play and not enough time. It's the eternal struggle, right? All right.
Too many irons in the fire and not enough hammers?
A Song of Ice and Fire? Is that it? No. All right.
I'm thinking of the stupid show because I started reading the books and hated them.
Let's move on. Speaking of things that were hated by a lot of people, some nasty news was out earlier this week that had come out of Asia, where PlayStation Plus, the new version, was going live, where some folks who gamed the system early on, basically stacking up their time that were going to be converted to get the highest tier of PlayStation Now at a lower price, were getting hit with an upgrade tax. Dun, dun, dun. But it actually came out, and I will quickly add to the story that Sony came out and said, oh, it was a mistake. This pricing pricing fiasco was an error. In a tweet, the official Ask PlayStation account said, due to a technical error, players in Asia who have previously purchased a PlayStation Plus membership at a discount have been incorrectly charged for their upgrade pricing. This error has been fixed, and impacted players will receive a credit. We thank you for your patience. Okay. I'm glad they fixed it, and that's the important thing at the end of the day. You can't help but wonder, were they going to find... I love multiple people in chat put mistake in quotes. You have to wonder, would they have been so quick to find that mistake if social media and gaming media had not pointed it out for them multiple times? You have to wonder.
Our bad that we got caught. Oops.
Now, some other news coming out of the launch of PlayStation Plus the new PlayStation Plus in Asia is that the classic games, some of them are the PAL versions, which you may recall was a lot of the shit that the PlayStation Classic got in trouble for. I should say they don't all use PAL regions, but some of them do. So, for example, Ape Escape was one that was noted. I think I don't think the cloud service had completely rolled out, but Ape Escape was somehow available. So a Twitter user actually grabbed it and found, oh, it runs at the PAL frame rate, which is actually a lower frame rate. So it's a 50 hertz frame rate instead of 60. Well, once again, because social media is so quick to point this out, I believe Sony actually put out some type of patch to try to correct this, but it made it worse because they're trying to force the 60 frames a second through some sort of, I don't know, basically machine learning or whatever to put it out there. And it's not actually just the PAL version. So I don't know why they just can't emulate the fucking PAL version. I don't know what's holding them back. Some people were speculating, is it because maybe the region that this was released in is it defaulted to NTSC? I don't know, but it's an issue that should be dealt with. Now, Ape Escape, Hot Shots Golf, Jumping Flash, all were observed to be using PAL, but Tekken 2 was NTSC. So, and considering Tekken 2 is a fighting game, that's some good news. But that is, I don't know, it's just weird that this is happening and that you would think somebody at Sony kind of realizes this is an issue, right? I don't know. Dark Tetsuya asks,
well,
didn't
apparently not.
Yeah, didn't Nintendo give Europe the 60 hertz versions anyway? I'm pretty sure, because now that everything is high definition television, all of that stuff is out the window. The reason why this was all an issue to begin with is because the old CRT televisions were different between Europe and the U.S. And I believe Asia had the same type of TVs we had here in the U.S.
Yeah, but they were NTSC.
Yeah, but the PAL TVs over in Europe, that's why whenever you see like an old episode of Doctor Who, or if you ever watched old BBC stuff that they would play on PBS, it looked different. Like it kind of looked weird, right? That's because it was converted from PAL, and PAL had a different resolution as well. PAL was wasn't it like 20 pixels bigger, if I remember right?
Different refresh rate.
Yeah, it was a refresh rate. Yeah. So, oh yeah. And then there was C-Cam. I forgot about C-Cam. That was in, was that in other non-Japan Asian territories? I can't remember where C-Cam was. It was somewhere else. But yeah, there was that third format. So, Dark Tetsuya says, I remember the whole PAL C-Cam thing back in the 90s. I read about it all the time in mags back then. Yep. Zen Monkey says, I don't blame Sony for trying to take advantage of an exploit. Gamers are ripping them off, so they tried to balance out. I think what was pissing people off was that you were kind of forced into it. Sony should have at least given obviously they reverse course, but they should have like had the option, or they should have done something where it's like, hey, since you bought it at this lower rate, it's converted to the amount that you actually bought from the real prices. They probably could have done that and people would have been like, oh, sucks, but they would have dealt with it, you know. Pele Hanumea points out, my Amiga monitor could handle PAL, but the bottom of the PAL games were cut off. The Commodore platforms in particular are interesting because they were bigger in Europe than they were over here in the US. So a lot of it was kind of, you know, focused to that. So just kind of interesting. So.
The game I've been playing is a PAL game, but I haven't noticed any cutoff. It could be the PAL dialogue, the European dialogue applied to the Japanese version.
Yeah, yeah.
But which now I'm playing it, I know why it never came out over here.
It's a little dark, isn't it?
More than that, tons of religious iconography and iconography and tons of questionable speech.
Mm. It's been a long time since I played it, and I don't think I only beat Soul Blazer and got most of the way through Gaia. Terra Enigma, obviously the one not actually released here, I got the least furthest in. I played it, but not as much as you have at this point.
It just made it to America.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the whole time like on my Wednesday stream yelling at Columbus who was completely different characterization, of course, in the game, you know, fictional, everything. But I was like, no, you don't want to spread love between nations. You are trying to take people over and money and colonization and blah, blah, blah. I was just like going off on him. History lesson.
All right. How much further do you have to go, you think?
I don't know. I'm not looking ahead on purpose.
Fair enough. I know. You don't want a spoiler, so it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We have more stories. Dark Soccer, I believe the next one is yours. Also Sony.
Well, remember how there was the whole gender discrimination lawsuit, and we brought it up several times in light of Activision. Well, to go over a little bit more about this, it was a an employee named Emma. Is it Majo or Maho? I don't know offhand, but who was an IT analyst had filed a suit against Sony in November of 2021 that, you know, just basically going over some of the same stuff we've already talked about women being paid less, denied promotions, usually that type of thing. And then there were more allegations, of course, that came out. Eight more employees came out and said it. The federal judge had ultimately moved to dismiss the lawsuit in April, citing a lack of specific facts, but said certain elements of the case could proceed, specifically those relating to her dismissal from PlayStation and violations of whistleblower protections. Those could be resubmitted with more detail. And that's what she did. She did an amended version of the lawsuit with a narrower focus, has been submitted to the California court, this time seeking damages for all women who worked at PlayStation's California locations below the vice president level, rather than for all PlayStation female PlayStation employees across the U.S. The allegations are very similar, basically going, you know, that women were passed up for promotion in favor of male colleagues, unequal pay, retaliation. But now it explicitly adds, and I'm quoting here, more specific facts about the classified policies and practices which institutionalized gender-based discrimination and gender-based harassment, end quote. These are also including some of the declarations that were made by the other employees who came forward. And then a Deloitte study in which Sony was found to have a very low percentage of women in management positions compared to its peers. Sony has not made a comment on it yet. So we'll see how this plays out.
This isn't something Sony is just going to be able to blink and make go away, though, because it's not often you hear about a lawsuit being dismissed, but then coming back with kind of like the extra stuff to push it forward. So that's kind of what makes this particular piece, I think, interesting, is that, you know, since it was dismissed before, but now it's like, no, we have the additional information needed. So going to be interesting to see where this ends up. And Sony's definitely going to have to acknowledge it. And yeah, usually, you know, they, you know, we're getting into that E3 time of year. Sony historically has not had a lot of women on stage. So be interesting to see how they respond to that. So. All right, but until we have more info from the courts, which will probably be years away, let's be real, I'm not sure there's a lot else we can say on that. So for now, we'll go to our next story, Loki.
Yeah, so Sony is looking to bring some more of their titles to PC, and you may remember they've been doing that quite often with lots of past titles, including I'm trying to think. I think Horizon was on its way to PC already, yeah. And then they've brought Uncharted and all that stuff. But no, they've already announced that they're going to be including quite a few of the first party titles. So Ratchet and Clank, God of War, they're bringing Uncharted, The Last of Us, and I'm not sure what else they're looking to bring. Horizon Forbidden West, of course, they published that. But yeah, and this is I know that they're also, or data miners had also found Returnal was one that was slated for a PC port as well. But the fact that they're bringing more to PC is great, especially since I can't get PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I was going to say the Returnal is a really big deal because that's a PlayStation 5 exclusive. You can't play that on PlayStation 4. So the fact that that could possibly be something that you could play through PC would be pretty great, I think. So we'll see what comes of that, but I'd be into that.
Yeah, probably why this isn't really such a surprise, but they had an investor call that they said that no first-party games will be released on PlayStation 5 in 2025, but they're not planning on letting the platform die.
Basically, I think you meant to say PlayStation 4. No, no.
Oh, I'm sorry, PlayStation 4,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
So they're not going to... not going to be released in 2025. So that's still a few years away, but still in the meantime, they're planning on supporting the PlayStation 4 for at least a few more years, probably because there's no PlayStation 5s available. Hmm. They got to make money somehow. And they are making money they are selling quite a few of those units, at least on the PlayStation 4. Wonder if we'll see they've already done like a redesign of the PlayStation 4, probably not another redesign, but maybe a PlayStation 5 redesign. I know people are kind of excited about something like that. And the Xbox Series X and S redesigns here. There was buzz about that earlier this week with absolutely no information whatsoever on it.
I think people just kind of feel like it's the time for it. But, you know, and I would definitely say, you know, from the old calendars, this would be about the year you would see like a PlayStation hardware refresh or something. But I think the combination of the pandemic leading to the chip shortage, leading to why we can't have PlayStation 5s very easily, I'm not sure it's going to make that easy, especially if PlayStation VR 2 is happening this year. That seems like a bit of a whammy to hit in the same year. Asking people to get a PlayStation VR 2 and a PS5 Pro, I'm using my quotey fingers, whatever it is, that's a lot for 1 year. So I feel like it's one or the other, not both.
Yeah, and also I think that would be confusing too, because you're going to have basically three SKUs at that point. You're going to have the PlayStation 4 that you're still supporting until 2025, your regular PlayStation 5, and then your PlayStation 5 Pro. It would get confusing.
Yeah.
Not to say that they don't do that sort of weird tiering things on their services already, mm-hmm. So sure, why not?
Why not? Sony probably sells 40 types of televisions. Why not three PlayStations?
Yeah, they're gonna support the PlayStation 4 until 2025. It's only gonna output though at PAL resolutions and PAL refresh rates though going forward.
Stop
so
it.
Just saying, beware of that.
E3VL in our chat points out it's easier to get PlayStation 5s than before. GameStop and Walmart have been doing events. Yeah, I've been generally hearing that too, that it's getting a little easier to get your hands on one. At this point, I'm not gonna buy one until after the summer season, because I need Sony to confirm that they're not doing a hardware upgrade this year, and then probably I'll buy one. Well, I need one for Final Fantasy 16. So whenever, if 16 is coming out this year, then fuck it, I'm buying a PlayStation 5. But if it's not coming out this year, I might still wait, especially with this news about the PC stuff and that everything is still on PlayStation 4. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Questbusters in the same boat as me. It's a good boat, and there's lots of room in this boat. I think there's a lot of us in it. So, all right. Well, when we might figure out more information could be Sony's State of Play event, which is scheduled for June 2nd. That's next week. So I don't know if this is supposed to be their E3 replacement or what. It's only a 30-minute broadcast, but you can still put a lot of information in 30 minutes, and maybe, you know, honestly, truly, if you take the fluff out of a 60-minute presentation, 90-minute presentation, you probably only have about 30 minutes left. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They are saying new game reveals, sneak peeks, updates, and they are including in that some exciting reveals from our third-party partners, and they are confirming a sneak peek at several games in development for PlayStation VR 2, which makes me think PSVR 2 is this year. But I could be wrong, and that's okay. But I feel like if they're starting to show off those games, then that hardware is probably a little sooner rather than later. Especially if it will just inherently support the PlayStation 4 VR library, you know, then that way it's already going to have a library when this comes out. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Again, it's June 2nd. It's going to be 3:00 Pacific, 6:00 Eastern. So sadly, that's still during the workday for me, which is kind of annoying. So I'm not sure I can actually watch it live here on VOG. Although that's Thursday. I might be able to swing it, but no promises. So E3VL says probably a teaser for Summer Games Fest a week later. I don't expect Sony is going to be participating at the same level at Summer Games Fest. I'm sure they will maybe have something thrown in there, but probably they'll rely on their partners, i.e. Kojima. If Kojima is really up to something, whatever it is, be it that they're going to confirm the Death Stranding sequel, or heaven forbid, the fans are going to get their way and he's involved with something meatier, is that might be the place they confirm that, but that would probably be more of a third party announcement type of thing. Although I guess there was also that rumor going around that Sony might have just straight up bought him. So I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
We will have to wait and see, and y'all will just have to deal with waiting. One thing you do get to see on Friday, though, so again, now that we don't have E3 anymore, companies are kind of doing this whenever they want. Sega is going to be doing an event on June 3rd. It's at, I believe that's 8 o'clock in Japan. That's going to be early morning for us. I don't know quite the time conversion, but it's going to be early morning. Sega is going to do a Sega New Project Announcement live stream. You can watch it on YouTube, Nico Nico, and Twitter. It is available there. No idea what could be here, but a Twitter user has observed that the presenter lineup is the same as the Genesis and Mega Drive Mini live stream. So could it be something where we have more Sega Retro Collection things coming? Who knows? I would, you know, we've heard that Sega wants to revive some of their old stuff, like potentially Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, things like that. I think we'd all be extremely happy to hear a new Jet Set Radio's coming, but keep your expectations manageable. It's probably another Sonic game. No, well, in all seriousness, Sonic does have that, you know, everything's going open world now. Sonic has that open world game coming out, but I don't think this is about that, because they've already announced it, and they would have just said it's a stream about the new Sonic game, but they're saying this is a new project announcement. Orange Wright says,
I can't wait to hear about their NFTs.
You need to take that back right now. Orange Wright in chat says, clearly it's going to be the Dreamcast 2, JK. You joke, but if it was like a mini Dreamcast, I think we'd all be there for that. I mean, hell yeah. Speaking of NFTs, because it didn't hit the show roll anywhere else, did you hear about Bobby Blackwell's favorite series?
No.
Ni No Kuni just launched a mobile PC gotcha kind of title. And apparently it doesn't have NFTs in it yet, but people have observed on their roadmap it is something that's coming to the game. I have some friends on Twitter that got into it before that news came out. But I was like, I'm not going to play another gotcha game right now. I'm just not. All right, everybody in chat is saying no, no. So, all right, fine. I'll talk about something else. Questbuster does point out it's by Netmarble, which, depending on who you talk to in gotcha circles, is automatically a red flag. All right, let's move on. We need to talk about games from before the NFT era. So Dark Sakura.
Four times.
Yeah.
So this is rumory. This is conjecture. But in PlayStation Plus in Asian regions, they saw artwork for Dino Crisis, the original Dino Crisis. The game is not in the catalog, but actually, with the launch this week, it has fewer games than they expected to have. But if the lead character for Dino Crisis is used on the cover highlighting the classic games, then the theory is going that Dino Crisis may be among them. It's a pretty convincing screenshot. Just looking it over, I mean, it's where they go to Classics catalog. She is there, facing everybody. So they're thinking that it is going to be coming out eventually. And I don't know what's... There we go.
It's a fair conclusion to jump to, I think.
No. Some music started playing on my side, which only I could hear. I'm sorry. But at any rate, I mean, we've had people asking for this game to be re-released in some form or another for a while. I mean, it almost seems that the, I mean, well, it was actually just abandoned, the whole IP there. So if we can have it coming back, that would be pretty nice.
All right. Let's
Resident Evil is having this big surge of happy popularity. Why not Dino Crisis?
Why not?
And then you know what? We can get a dinosaur killer in Dead by Daylight.
I'm all for that.
You hear me, behavior? Why not? Don't steal my ideas. Hire me.
Why not a tie-in with Jurassic Park? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jurassic Park, Dead by Daylight. You ready? The killer, the Velociraptor. Although it could be the T-Rex. Whatever. But the survivor is Laura Dern. I just got Laura Dern in a video game. Needs to happen.
They did too. The other one could be Malcolm.
It could be. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Jeff Goldblum as Malcolm would
be
great.
We get
a
Jeff Goldblum.
I think Laura Dern's character is Ellie or something like that. But yeah, I would like, I just, when I think of Dead by Daylight and gay rights, and it is Pride Month, Laura Dern needs to be in the game.
Still kind of hope we get the Babadook.
I'd love that. All right. Orange Wright does point out the T-Rex would be too big, but then again, they said the same thing about Ridley. Well, that's why I went for a Velociraptor.
They do all have to be built on a humanoid skeleton. Even the dredge is built on a humanoid skeleton. I looked at the armature for it.
Yeah, demo doggy.
Because there are common animations.
Yeah.
But actually, I'll tell you what's really funny is taking the Wraith skeleton and applying it to the pig. She just sort of hangs there really tall with her head to the side. But going back to the actual story, it'd be cool. People will be happy about it. I don't see how you could go. Never mind. I'm not going to say that because I know how they could go wrong with it. But there you go.
Before we get to our next story, a tip from Fanara in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. This isn't in our show role, but it's a worthy headline that if you are a user of the Epic Game Store, the BioShock collection is the free giveaway this week. So make sure to grab that. Thank you for the reminder. I hadn't grabbed that yet. I got Borderlands 3.
I thought it was just BioShock 3.
No, it's the whole collection.
Oh, it's the collection.
Yeah.
It's 1, 2, and Infinite.
Yeah. So, which
I've already got the others, but that's cool. I'll have to go grab the others.
I believe collection would be the HD remasters on top of that. So, they remastered the 1 and 2 at some point. So, yeah, it's definitely worth picking up if you don't already have it. So, cool. All right. Makes me wonder if they're finally about to announce another one because, you know, supposedly he's been working on one for a while and summer's coming up and that's when they announce new stuff. And
actually,
this brings
I just thought of a problem with them doing Dino Crisis.
Hmm.
The dinosaurs are so inaccurate now that we know that they all had feathers.
Oh.
They would have to completely redo all the dinosaurs.
They aren't doing that in Jurassic Park.
I know.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
It doesn't have to be right. You know,
well, the Jurassic Park stuff, you could say, because they combined it with frog DNA or something like that. So
it kind of does bug me now, though. Going back and seeing all these representatives of what people thought they looked like and now actually knowing they're giant chickens. Giant chickens.
I'm not taking you to see 80s horror movies and all the things they get wrong about a multitude of things, creatures, blood, physics.
Mind those. But dinosaurs were real.
That's true. They were.
I mean, humans didn't live with dinosaurs. That's a myth. But, you know, this wasn't the Flintstones.
All right. Moving on. Let's get into a few more stories for you. And then we'll get to the classic game of the week. And all I'm going to say, I'm not going to give it away, but I'm just going to say this week's selection is one of those games where you're going to go, oh, not this. This isn't old enough. This is not old enough. I'll leave you on that note. Hold on. For now, Loki.
Yeah, so there's members at Activision Blizzard. The employees have formed a new committee to try to combat the sexism, inequality, and gender bias that they've experienced at the studio. I know, surprising. The Workplace Responsibility Committee, they have a 4-page document that basically includes their demands, and that includes a private lactation support, 12 weeks of paid parental leave, the implementation of independent investigations for employee complaints and incidents. Yeah, I wonder why they would need that. You know, but yeah, it's nice to see these groups kind of more organizing. Although, you know, it would really help them a little bit better is if they just had a union across the whole company.
I think we're going to get there. It's just a matter of time. We'll see.
Yeah, so the 12 weeks paid off or time off for parental leave is basically opposed to the 10 weeks that they currently get. So they're asking for more benefits in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, especially with all the eyes kind of on Activision right now, with all of the allegations coming out from them. I mean, it might help them with some of this momentum.
Right. And what they're asking for is certainly not unreasonable. Like, you might be sitting there going, gosh, they're asking for this. This actually, there's a lot of companies out there that have these sorts of, you know, benefits for employees. It's, you know, that's how you get a company, you know, those type of benefits make you want to work for an employee or for an employer and stay loyal to it when they have those sorts of things. So, you know, and especially when people are abandoning Activision Blizzard left and right because of everything the company's been going through, I don't think these sorts of protections are too much to ask, quite frankly. So, all right. Well, moving on, before we get to the classic game of the week, let's talk about a classic archive, because I think this is pretty cool. And it's being done by Embracer Group, which is also known as THQ Nordic back in the day. And plus, you know, you hadn't heard of Embracer Group a lot recently until that whole recent acquisition of the Square Enix West Coast stuff. Or not West Coast. What am I saying? Sorry. Square Enix, like, well, because Crystal Dynamics is on the West Coast. There's some other, but like Montreal and all that stuff, the stuff in the Americas, basically, that Embracer took from Square Enix. But Embracer's doing some other stuff as well, including the Embracer Games Archive, where they want to save as much of the games industry as possible. They have a whole new website, embracer.com/about/games archive. And that is a place where they kind of show you more about what this archive is all about. It's not really an online archive. It's actually a physical archive, and you can see lots of pictures there. They have already archived 50,000 games, consoles, and accessories. If you want to visit the hub, though, and I'm not hearing it's open to the public yet, but if you want to visit the hub, it's in Karlstad, Sweden. So you'll have a little trip to make for most of you out there. But the archive does have a CEO, an archive assistant, a technical engineer, and a supply manager. So Embracer is putting money into this by paying those salaries. And that's worth noting, is that they're putting their money where their mouth is, literally, which is kind of neat with that. They're trying to build a database, and they're going to be cataloging. They're hoping to network and collaborate with initiatives, museums, and institutions. And they also do intend to exhibit part of the archive locally and with, like, traveling satellite exhibitions, basically. They do not have a wanted list of things they need yet, but if a collector wants to get in touch, they sure would like to hear from you. In a comment, David Bostrom said, imagine a place, this is the CEO, imagine a place where physical video games, consoles, and accessories are gathered at the same place. And think about how much that could mean for games culture and enabling video games research. This journey has just been started, and we're at an early stage. At Embracer Games Archive, we believe that games carry a heritage we're celebrating and safeguarding for the future. Our goal is clear. We want to archive and save as much of the video games industry as possible. So that's pretty neat that they are doing that. And I will say this. It's basically like Dark Sakura's vault, but like on a much larger scale. It's what this is. It's pretty cool. So very cool.
The vault is kind of downscaled. Unless you add the pinballs to it, then they're all going to be in the garage.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, as promised, we're going to take a trip down memory lane in our next segment.
It's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura, what did you pick tonight?
Sorry.
That's all right.
I picked Journey. I'd hit the button, but it didn't trigger it.
That's right.
Yeah, not the old Journey, which I've already done. Not Journey to Syllabus, which I've already done. but Journey that came out in 2012.
So yes, this game is 10 years old and we're all having a moment.
Well, you might. I'm not.
I am.
So it came out in North America on March 13th, 2021, and in Europe on March 14th, 2021, probably because they actually did get a simultaneous release and it was time difference. So it is an indie adventure game that was made by That Game Company and Santa Monica Studio, published by Sony, directed by Genova Chen. It was released on PlayStation 3 on the PlayStation Network, and then ported to PS4 July 2015, and then on Windows and iOS. So when you play Journey, you're playing a robed figure who is traveling toward a mountain. And other people are playing at the same time. But they don't tell you first that you're playing a multiplayer game. You run into other robed figures. And sometimes you help them. And sometimes you ignore them or they ignore you. But the whole thing is that the only way that you have to communicate with each other is a little musical chime. And it will change this cloth that you find in different levels into this vibrant red. And it allows you to progress through the levels. They wanted to try to evoke these emotions and the sense of bonding with people as you go through. And the music also dynamically responds to your actions, so you have a single theme, but with variations as you go through. It won many Game of the Year awards. It won Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media. It got a nomination for Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media in the 2013 Grammys. There is a collector's edition that has the other of That Game Company's previous titles and other media that came out in August 2012. So you have, like, it's all wordless. You have these, the cutscenes are just visual. I don't really want to go into spoilers on it, because I do think that if people haven't played it, they really should sit down and do it. But you can play through the whole thing in, like, 2 to 3 hours, if I recall correctly. Now, going into the development of this one, the first two games that game company did was Flow and Flower. And I played Flower. Did you ever play Flower?
I did. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And so, the development for Journey started in 2009 after Flower was released. And they had an 18-person development team, mostly people who worked on the previous two games. But basically, Sony wanted the game done in a year rather than the three. But they knew that they would need an extension on this one because doing it in a year was unrealistic. And it took even longer than they thought it would, because the communication aspect really was what took a lot of effort. And then the team was originally like 7 people and grew to 18 people. And then Sony's extension ran out, but the game still didn't bring the emotions that they wanted, so Sony gave them 1 more year and exceeded even that. The project, though, was causing a lot of problems, a lot of stress, a lot of arguments. They had to reduce overtime because of project burnout. And then they had almost been driven to bankruptcy in the final months of development, and some of the developers had gone unpaid. Because the whole thing is that you had to let, for them to just get it out, they had to basically let the game go. Just finish it. And learning to let go of those ideas that they couldn't make it into the game and just work well together. And that ended up actually kind of going into the theme of the game. The whole point was to make you feel small and give you this sense of awe about where you were. It wanted to move beyond the competitive nature of most games. And there actually was a prototype called Dragon that had players trying to draw away a large monster But they discarded it when it was basically players were ignoring each other to do their own objectives. And so they designed Journey as, well, their analogy for it is like a Japanese garden where they remove all the elements that didn't fit so that the emotions would stay. It was very minimalist. With that minimalist approach, with it being less complicated, it was perfect. Basically, they said that 3 of their 25 testers cried when they finished the game. It is based off of Middle Eastern concepts, some Arabic culture, some of the architecture, and also a little bit of Chinese and Tibetan cultural influences. Of course, that comes from Chen's background. And they wanted it to be fully cooperative without forcing it and letting... They wanted to eliminate all need of competition. You know, they felt that caring about the other player could be diluted by too much going on in the game, and that they wanted to show the positive side of humanity. So when this came out, there was the PlayStation Home Game Space... there was, you know, that came out with the release of the game. The collector's edition retail one came out in August, like I said earlier. There's also, like I said, with that, they also released Flow and Flower with director commentaries, art galleries, and soundtracks of all the games, non-related mini games, and more content for PlayStation 3. And then they did a hardcover book called The Art of Journey. And, Then it kept coming out, and basically the port that came out for Windows and iOS was done by Annapurna Interactive. The music was done by Austin Wintory, who also worked on Flow, and he worked with the sound designer because they wanted all of these actions to be interactive, a little bit more like what you have. Like I said earlier, as you do certain things in the game, the music is going to switch over to a variation. And the soundtrack is actually available on iTunes and PlayStation Network. And it, like I said, it was also Grammy nominated. There's also this in 2012, there was a download only album on Bandcamp called Journey Bonus Bundle, which had different variations of themes from Journey and Flow. And then a full soundtrack was released after that. There was a piano arrangement called Transfiguration that came out after that, also on Bandcamp and as a physical album. And then a 2-record vinyl version that was released in 2015. There was a Kickstarter for a Journey live concert tour. And they will have like people playing it and have the ensemble react in real time. It had a modified version of the game that they used with the music disabled. It well surpassed its goal. Then on March 2022, so this year on the game's 10th anniversary, Wintory released a rearranged version of Journey's soundtrack with a full orchestra done by London Symphony Orchestra, the London Voice Choir, and cellist Tina Guo. It's called Traveler, a Journey Symphony, with reimagined elements and larger sets of instruments and more vocalists. Basically, it's bigger and better and more moving. But yeah, this game got like so many accolades. Really, like for the Metacritic scores for both PS3 and PS4 were 92 of 100. Everywhere, there's not a score on here that's less... okay, there was one that gave it an 8 out of 10. It was Edge, but are they around anymore? I don't think so.
I think they are, actually, but it's all right.
Fine. Touch Arcade gave it a 4.5 of 5 stars, and everyone else was either a 9 of 10 or a 10 of 10. The only thing that really drew any criticism was the length and the pacing. Not all players appreciated a deliberate, melancholic pace, as one critic said. That was actually from the Edge review. They were basically saying it wasn't complicated enough.
Well, that person's entitled to their bad opinion.
But They also said it could be compared to a concert or well-directed film or a book you've been looking forward to, that it will create memories that last.
All right. Is that it?
There you go. That's it.
All right. Classic game of the week, Journey, not to be confused with a 1980s rock band that also had their own video game, but the classic that was released on the PlayStation 3. And, you know, just to, you know, obviously Jamie's kind of given us the rundown of this game's history and so forth, but there's a couple quick things I want to say. Number one, I really believe this is one of the best video games they've ever made. Like, I think this, like, it goes beyond a classic game for me, and that's my opinion. But I think this is truly one of the best video games out there, period. And I know now that we're 10 years out, we talk a little more openly about spoilers. But I think the fact that they hid that it was a multiplayer game and you discovered that as you were playing it, but yet were not able to communicate in a traditional method with the other player, I thought it was downright revolutionary at the time and really just added to the art that this game was. Yes, as Bobby was pointing out in the chat, Robin, I saw that concert. I don't know if this is like, maybe they're this thing they did at MAGFest, they're taking on the road or something like that. But I will say one of the best gaming culture things I've ever seen was kind of what you were describing there. But they did that at MAGFest. God, I've lost all track of time. I want to say maybe that was 2017. I don't remember what year. Bobby will probably remember better. But that was, that was when they actually performed the whole game while somebody was playing it, and Austin Wintory was there conducting it, and they were online, and another player did join and was helpful, and like that was all stuff you can't really control. So that's so cool. Bobby does confirm the MAGFest concert was the precursor to the Kickstarter. Well, I'm not surprised, because I'm sure a lot of people felt how we felt about that concert, that it was just, it was outstanding and it deserved to be seen by more people. So just a little personal touch on the game there for me. But I truly believe this is one of those, like, I don't necessarily have a list of like 50 games you must play before you die, but like if I did have a list, this would be on it for sure. I think this is one of the greatest video games they've ever made. I really do. So. Mm. There it is. Classic game of the week. Journey. All right. Good pick. Good pick. All right. Let's make sure my co-hosts are visible again. There we go. And then we can get back into some rapid fire news and quickly talk about some other headlines. So Loki, we'll go to you.
Well, since Rob already had mentioned it in his gaming week, No Man's Sky has another update. So they've added space whales.
And I didn't say anything about the space whales because I haven't gotten there yet.
I thought you did because you mentioned like the whole organic thing.
Well, shit, I ruin everything.
So it's No Man's Sky Leviathan. They've got a whole new kind of roguelike mode that's in it as well. And yeah, the giant space whales, which are hardly, I mean, it looks more like a space squid than a space whale, but whatever.
It does.
Fish.
Yeah, it's free. Space fash. Although whales technically not fish, so.
I said a space cuttlefish.
And then on Nintendo Switch Online, there are some updates coming in May. So we have on the Super Nintendo Rival Turf and Congo's Caper, and then Pinball on the NES.
Pinball on the NES was actually kind of rad for its time. I mean, you know.
I had it and it was all right.
I played that when you could have Pinbot on NES.
I wish they would put that on Switch Online and hard driving while they're at it. But, you know, Pinbot was so good because, well, A, the soundtrack was great. Rare always knocked it out of the park in that department. But B, it did stuff that pinball tables don't do, which was controversial at the time. But, like, there were parts where, like didn't aliens come out and would, like, eat the ball and stuff like that? Like, it did, the game did things that the table can't do. Because, like,
yeah,
it literally breaks the laws of gravity and physics. But it's a video game. You're allowed to do that. So that's what I liked about it. All right. Anyway, Darsakura, what do you have?
Just some Stadia news. So on June 1st, there's going to be a launch of Through the Darkest of Times from Handy Games. It's a historical resistance strategy game. And then there's also Mighty Switch Force Collection will also be coming out from WayForward. And it looks actually like it's pretty fun. And then there is also Those Who Remain by Wired Productions to be coming out. And I've actually seen some pretty nice games recently coming out on Stadia, including like some really good freebies. But the Switch Force Collection is the one I'm actually kind of happy about. It's a very Gunstar Heroes sort of vibe.
Hmm.
Especially since, hold on, there's one thing on here about the... Oh, yeah, yeah. So you have characters called Corporal, hold on, Ugly Secret Baby is one of them. Is one of the character names.
All right.
That's probably who I would play as.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some games that are coming to a store shelf or a digital shelf near you. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, not a whole lot of things. So we have a game called Silt coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. We have Card Shark on PC and Nintendo Switch. We have a game,
like the game
that
show?
Don't you guys? No, I think this is a Devolver Digital title. It's not. It's an adventure game, it's a little different. Yeah, it's not the game show. I'm sorry. And of course, you know, you guys have to answer. Do you guys not have phones? Because Diablo Immortal is coming out.
Oh boy,
and it's on PC as well. In case you don't have a phone.
I forgot about that.
iOS and Android. And then Loopers is going to be coming out on Nintendo Switch, and Five Memories of My Time with You on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right. Going to Japan and looking at some of the releases over there. On the Nintendo Switch, Indigo 7 is out in a regular and special edition. It is the English version of the game, but it is getting a localized release in Japan this week. Also, The Quintessential Quintuplets, the movie, Five Memories of My Time with You, also a regular and limited edition, coming out on the Switch in Japan this week. And then Loopers is also out on the Switch in Japan. On the PlayStation 5, Indigo 7, actually all of those games, I was just accidentally looking at the same list, my bad. Let me try this again. On the PlayStation 5 this week, that's why, because nothing is out on the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan, but on the PlayStation 4, we have that same, the Quintessential Quintuplets, the movie game is really the only release on PlayStation 4. That's it. A little bit of a slower week in Japan. Dark Sakura.
Only four things on the list. They're all on the 31st. SnowRunner for the big three. Zombie Night Terror on Switch. And the last two on PlayStation is Autobahn Police Simulator 3. And Insomnus Enhanced Edition.
All right. Just a few more stories for you, and then we'll invite your calls via Discord at... almost said twitch.tv. Well, that's where you watch, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. But to participate further, you can join our Discord. And you can also talk with us throughout the week. Some folks share stories in our chat, and that's great. I always love to see the discussion that happens on that during the week. VOGNetwork.com, that's VOGNetwork.com/Discord to join our server there. We'll get to some of the roundtable talk here in a minute. But first, we have a few more headlines, starting off with Loki.
Yes, so there is a brand new game that's been announced by the Game Grumps. And, of course, you may remember them for their YouTube channel, as well as Dream Daddy. You know, who could forget that wonderful dating sim game. But now they're going to be doing
something a little bit different. Never watched their YouTube, but watched a lot of people play Dream Daddy.
That's true.
Recently.
Yeah, recently, yeah.
But... you know, this one is going to be a little bit different. So it is a slasher inspired game from with a kind of a unique looking visual style. It kind of reminds me a lot of like, it's not quite PlayStation, but it's like early 90s. It like reminds me of like Alone in the Dark, but with just better graphics, I guess. Kind of creepy looking. They said it's supposed to be a narrative driven psychological horror game. And it is, full of puzzles, dialogue choices, and of course, evading the killer. And apparently, no two playthroughs are going to be the same because of the AI in it. But it looks pretty cool. It's supposed to be coming to Steam and the Epic Games Store and consoles later this year.
Interesting. Well, Dream Daddy was quite the cult hit, and this seems to have all the makings of what, is popular on Twitch. So I'll be very, very curious to see how it goes. Mike Deft in chat says, yeah, it's like PlayStation 1 graphics and horror. SSJ100 Matt says, the Game Grumps folks have been polarizing in the past. Not sure how it is now. I just don't follow a lot of the YouTube stuff, but I know there's probably a lot more people watching that than watching this. So it's fine. All good. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
There is a game that was unveiled in 2020 that was by the creator of Dead Space, Glenn Schofield. It's called the Callisto Protocol, and it was very Dead Space-y. Very scary. And then they announced also, though, that the game would be set in the PUBG universe, which kind of surprising for that. I mean, it's a horror game, a third-person horror game set in 2320, and you are, like, in this prison colony on Jupiter's moon Callisto. And the connection was that the developer, Striking Distance, explicitly established by PUBG Battlegrounds publisher to create narrative-driven games, so they thought it would be a good involvement in there. So when they went in, they had like this lore team and writing the story and then going into it. But they said that the horror game would have been pretty far out along the timeline, and then eventually they just dropped it altogether. So it grew into its own world and is no longer associated with the PUBG universe.
All right. So long farewell.
I honestly didn't know PUBG had a universe.
I didn't either, to be honest. So
everything has a universe.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. And a lot of people have custom universes in this next game, right, Loki?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we go completely universal.
I've played this in so long.
But, yeah, I know a lot of people can get pretty involved with The Sims. So The Sims 4 has added a custom pronouns update, I guess. I'm not really sure if it's an update or if it's just like an add-on they have in it. But anyways, now when you create a Sim, you can also completely customize, the different pronouns that they use in the game. So it's pretty awesome now that it's opened up a lot of the... Was it the representation as well in there?
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. That's great. Yeah. Just in time for Pride Month, which
exactly.
is great. So, yeah. And it's also just neat to hear about Sims 4 because that game could practically be a classic game of the week. I feel like it's been out a while. They're obviously the original Sims goes back to what, like 99 or something like that. And then, Sims 2 and 3 didn't take a long, long time after that. But then I feel like Sims 4 has kind of been where the series has been at for a long time, maybe just because it's been so expensive. I'm just surprised we're not talking about a Sims 5 yet.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't know when the original came out, but...
But there's been like 20 expansions for The Sims 4. Hasn't there? I don't know. Dark Soccer knows more about the series than I do.
Well, let's put
honest.
It this way. It's about almost 8 years old now.
I don't think I've touched the game in 3 years.
Wow. Okay, YYR says September 2nd, 2014 was the release date. So it is, it's not classic game of the week old, but it's getting there. It's getting there.
Almost there. Yeah. It's almost like pulling a Grand Theft Auto 5 at this point. Except they haven't re-released it a million times.
No, so, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, one more story on the show roll for you tonight, and this has to do with another classic recently unveiled, and that is Marble Madness 2, Marble Man, finally available to be played in an emulator. Now, these machines did exist, and you would see them once in a great while. I know California Extreme would get it once in a while. I think Dark Soccer, you've probably played it there, probably talked about it on the show. But this is notable because the collectors that had these machines, and this machine, I don't think it ever really came out beyond a prototype. Like, it was a fully realized prototype because they tested it, but it didn't do well with the test groups. I think Atari was blaming trackballs were the problem. They wanted to do joysticks and all that stuff, which is, I don't know, it's kind of silly. But they didn't really release this game wide. So collectors had this game, and they didn't want the value of the game to be devalued, so nobody was putting it on the internet. Well, guess what happened this last week? It finally made – somebody broke the code, and it made its way to the internet. And you know what? I'm sure the collectors will be fine. Bobby was getting into this on his show a little bit. When this happened to another game several years ago, the collectors, they don't lose any value. But yeah, ROM image of Marble Madness 2 started showing up on the Internet Archive and some other websites, and now it is actually playable in MAME. Some folks wonder, and it was leaked by the handle Dank2079, which go off Dank. But I guess the ROMs have 20-year-old timestamps on them. So people are wondering, is this just old stuff that leaked? But then folks are saying, well, it might, the ROM readers could be using really old PCs where Windows 95 is still the operating system. And that's why it's showing as such an old thing. So SG100 Matt wondering if Mark Cerny, who is now with Sony, worked on this, or if this was an Atari deal. Mark Cerny did not work on the sequel, but he is very well known for having worked on the original Marble Madness. So anyway, long story short, you can finally experience Marble Madness 2 after all this time from MAME, which is interesting because we were just talking about ROM, or you know, gaming history preservation earlier in the show, and now you know this is a way where many people can really experience this for the first time. But there's another gag about this. A lot of people kind of saying, you know what? It's not a very good game. Like a lot of the magic that made the original special, it's kind of lost in this. For example, from the Internet Archive, Jason Scott said, Marble Madness 2 is a classic example of when a beautiful game is created and the sequel completely forgets why the original is great. I'm excited this long anticipated game is out in the wild because people can realize how uninteresting the game is and move on. Ouch.
That is shady.
That is very shady. Where's my RuPaul shade button? But anyway, it's still though, it's a game of historical importance for sure. And you know what? Now you can play it and see for yourself. So Marble Madness 2. I can't tell you where to get it because technically downloading ROMs is piracy. But I can just tell you, once on the internet, always on the internet.
Always on the internet, yeah.
This is a game a lot
it's
of
like
people
herpes.
Are talking about. Yeah, right? And YYR is saying, you know, as we're talking about being shady and it's not very good, YYR is suggesting maybe that's why it was never released. it's a good
could
thought,
be.
YYR could be. I don't know, though. There were a lot of companies that were releasing shitty games. Like, that doesn't always stop them. But yeah, fair point. Maybe they didn't want to tarnish the Marble Madness brand. I don't know. Although, has there ever been a Marble Madness game since? Nope. There should be. That's you know what? If Atari wants us to pay attention to their fucking VCS thing, that computer, that PC computer, why don't you put a new Marble Madness game on it for starts?
That would be pretty cool.
Anyway. SG100 Matt says Bob Flanagan did lead the development for Marble Madness 2, who worked on the original with Mark Cerny, and coincidentally also worked on the Sims games in recent years. So we love a callback and how things come full circle. All right, we're going to go to the listener roundtable where we open up our mailbag, participate at orangelaunchradio.com, as well as any questions you might have in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And any calls you might have over at vognetwork.com/discord. I don't think I saw emails this week, but I'll check in with Dark Sakura. Was that a no?
One.
Oh, there is one. Okay.
No, not A1.
Oh, not A1. Oh, I'm sorry. Your audio, for some reason, like the very beginning is dropping. I don't know why. So
it's because
okay.
I had to move my mic to a different place because my entire mic arm fell off.
Your noise gate. Okay, got it.
Noise gate. I'm not using a noise gate.
Oh, interesting.
My mic arm fell off, and I had to put my mic back together.
Okay.
It's tis but a scratch, though.
Well,
your arm's off.
We hope you'll send us an email in a future week. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. Usually, if you don't send us email, that is a chance for Dark Soccer and I to talk about Drag Race. I don't know if you've checked out the latest season yet, but another episode came out. And I got this season. I don't always watch Drag Race anymore. I don't watch every season. This latest season, very good. This latest episode, not as good as the second episode, but still pretty good. Some really good looks in the set. It was a ball. It was a ball episode. And if I can spoil just a little something that's super cool, Dark Sakura, it was in part a Vanna White inspired ball. And Vanna White was there. And she actually read all of, but she didn't judge. She just was there on the main stage and she would say, up next, Raja with a da-da-da look or whatever. But they didn't tell the queens that Vanna was going to be there. So when they come out and start walking down the runway, you see them look over and then they go, ah! Like they suddenly recognize her and they freak out. So it was cute. It's worth a watch. Anyway, Stan Jinx Monsoon, end of tweet. But honestly, you could stand anybody in this season. They're all winners for a reason. Like anybody is good in this season. Like I want them all to win. Can we break up the crown? Can we? That's what I'd like to do. All right. Well, before we get to some last minute stories, maybe we do have a call in the green room. So I'd like to go ahead and get to it. Let's get to it. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is YYR.
Hi, YYR. How are you?
Oh, not so bad. Not so bad for a Sunday night. Got a holiday tomorrow. Uh-huh. Don't have to get up early and get the toddler ready for daycare and rush to get out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get her dressed, have her reject her clothing, have to pick something else. No, I don't want that one. I don't want that one either. wind up getting 10 minutes late to work, but since I'm the only one in the office, nobody notices. Thank goodness.
I can't believe your kid is at that age. I mean, like, of course, but it's just like this pandemic has just, my sense of time is so screwed. And like, I'm like, wait, don't you still have a baby?
Our baby is going to be 4 next month.
Ah! Yeah. What happened to time? Oh my gosh. A year younger than my dear friend Melody and Mel B. If you go back in the DDR days, Mel B was very well known for freestyle stuff. Their child is only about a year older. So it's wild that, and I'm like, isn't C still a baby? Like, what happened? Anyway, sorry.
Oh, my camera wasn't on. Sorry about that. I didn't want to mess up your...
Oh, that's okay. No, it's fine.
Video there.
I have to do different shots depending on how many people are on the stream anyway. So it's... And then sometimes it doesn't always go to the right spot. So I have to make adjustments on the fly. Like, what can you do? So anyway. Hi, it's good to see you, YYR. What do we owe a phone call tonight?
Well, normally when I call in because, you know, I want to comment on something on a previous week, or mm-hmm. you know, I want to shamelessly plug what I'm working on, or you know, what have you. Mm-hmm. But this time it's different.
Okay,
this time I am calling in to throw down.
All right.
You see? Oh, don't worry. You're not the target.
Okay, good. I was like, uh-oh.
What in the heck am I looking at behind you, Loki? Jeez. All right. Anyway,
game.
I'm not even sure I want to know. I missed the first hour.
You don't.
Sorry.
It's fine.
But anyway, so I was catching up on recent episodes of OLR this week, and I listened to the, not last week's episode, but the one before that. Mm-hmm. Just a few days ago, I listened to the end of it, and somebody called into the show. And somebody who shall remain Ranma and mentioned that a Dave & Buster's opened in his locality.
Ah. And you could call Ranma's ass out tonight. I know he's at a convention. It's Memorial Day weekend. He ain't here live to defend himself.
I was hoping he'd be
listening. Call his ass out. Fight him.
You did reach
get
out
her.
To me
get
to
her.
Get classic game stuff ready.
Well, but anyway, he went ahead and mentioned that he, you know, played a set after a very, very long hiatus, and that it didn't go quite as well as maybe he would have hoped. And he suggested that perhaps there should be a new version of DDR for the over 40 crowd that was made, you know, easier. To which I say,
you're about to rub it in that you did
girl.
Max. You're about to rub it in that you did Max girl. 300, like a million. How many times was it? A million times on your birthday?
Well,
something.
42, but only half of those were on expert.
Which is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
Yes.
But also my age. So as a member of the Over 40 Club who is currently working through the level 17 folder, I would like to say I'm giving you a challenge. And by the way, anybody else who is in the Over 40 crowd, yourselves included, please feel free to sign on to this because I endorse that completely. You have a Dave and Buster's near you now. Get your butt out there. Get practicing.
Can't make me.
Get good, right? And what I am challenging you to do is by the end of this year, play the following three songs all in one set.
Oh.
First stage, Hyper Twist, single expert. Absolute banger, one of my favorite songs in all of DDR forever.
I'm sorry, did you say absolute? I can do that one. Let's do absolute. Yes.
No. Too easy.
DDR joke, people. DDR. I'm not going to totally forget our old days.
But yes, Hyper Twist is rated a 15, and it's not the hardest 15. It flows very well. It doesn't have too much confusing stuff. It is awesome. Second stage, Romancing Layer, single expert, rated a 14.
Okay.
It used to be a 15. They actually re-rated it down to a 14 because it's not that hard. Very nice, uplifting song by Tag. Great. Final stage, Max 300, single expert, 15. The big, bad Max 300, you can do it.
I couldn't do Max 300 when I was 24 when the show started. What makes you think I can do it now? You answer first.
First of all, the song is 20 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard it a million times, probably. Even though you're not playing it, you are familiar enough with it
mm-hmm.
that you could practically drum it out already without even touching the pad. And it's just a matter of muscle memory, practice. And you just have to get into the right shape before it.
I will say it was not that long ago that I did Orion 7-8 Civilization Mix. Because you know that was one of the first songs in a DDR game. And I'm sorry to the non-DDR followers. So I'm getting deep cuts, all right? But Orion 7-8 Civ Mix was one of the first songs that had like a unique step chart where you had to hear, like, you'd put it in tutorial mode where it claps with the notes and you would hear that clapping in your head, right? And then like that's how you can pass. Like, you just, like, I still remember to this day that should tell you something, right?
Too.
What's that?
Yeah. What a pain in the butt chart that was too.
Yeah. So just to give some context here for those that are watching on Twitch. This is the note chart that, oh wow, even the new DDR still uses the old videos. That's great. This is the note chart that YYR is suggesting.
This is actually Step Mania, by the way.
Oh, is it? But, oh, whatever. I just looked on YouTube.
But they use like a DDR skin. We're all very familiar with this guy's videos. He's basically there on day two with, you know, a YouTube chart of the video. Very reliable. But yes, it's... was once the hardest song in DDR, not for very long, but it's still considered to be kind of a rite of passage to clear Max 300 single expert. That being said, they're, you know, teenagers or young adults who pick up the game now. And granted, it's a different time. The skill ceiling is so much higher now. The difficulty of the game is much higher now as far as how high it can go.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you can watch YouTube videos of expert players and learn their techniques and, you know, kind of mimic what they do with their feet, where, you know, we used to just stomp as hard as we could. And now, like, folks are really minimizing movements. They're trying to stay in the center and just kind of like make subtle movements to hit everything. And that way you don't use up all your stamina very quickly. You can, that's how you can get through these, you know, charts with 800 steps in them and still be standing afterwards. But yeah, it's, I've seen kids, I'll call them, start playing this game now, and then 6 months later, they're already passing, you know, 17s and 18s. So they can do that, then we can get up to level 15 in the next 7 months.
Okay.
But anyway, if Ranma decides to take this challenge,
which he should,
I will, if he's serious about it and he gets to the point where he can get there. And, you know, I anticipate we will probably be able to finally vaccinate Annie this summer. I will go to Dave and Buster's that day with him that he wants to attempt it, and I will play on the other side.
Okay.
So,
and I will join via FaceTime. I can't promise I can come out there in person, but maybe someday I can come see it in person.
I'll stay in my pajamas and not move.
Now.
And if he succeeds, I will top up his Dave and Buster's card with probably a good at least $20 of credits there.
All right, I love that. Now, but, I was going to say this YYR because I said I'm not sure I could do that anymore. But you know, and I've mentioned this on social media, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn too much. However, I'm going to toot it a little bit.
Oh, toot it! Absolutely too.
I hit a pretty major landmark this week. I've lost 50 pounds since last year. So, you know, just
that's awesome.
And, you know, I've talked about, I was motivated by a diagnosis I didn't want, but it is what it is. And if it's going to have this side effect, then I'll take it. And so at my highest, you know, which was July of last year, I'm now down 50 pounds from that. And games have been a reason I can thank for that. Specifically, you guys all know, now I can't really say DDR because I don't really live down the street from a Dave and Buster's or anything like that. I don't go with the frequency I used to. But I can say things like Pikmin, Niantic, which really incentivizes walking. Ingress, where I'm willing to walk an extra mile to go get a portal in the middle of nowhere just because it gets me moving and walking and all that stuff. Pokemon Go, sure, doing laps around the capital, whatever. All of that, I absolutely say, yes, that's been a part of what's helped me get through this and do this. So it's interesting how things have come full circle, because I would say, you know, 20 years ago when the show started, DDR was what was keeping me, you know, relatively skinny. So, well, I don't know if I'd call myself skinny, but, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. So my point is, we're still waiting on this round one over in Roseville to open up, which is supposed to be soon. I think I'm hearing June.
Allegedly.
But we've been hearing all sorts of months. It was supposed to open in 2020, but we all know what happened. So once that opens, Aaron, I will go out there.
You should do
this too. I'm not going to promise I can do your exact set list, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to at least get back to that 9-footer I did before. If CivMix is still on those machines, which I don't see why it wouldn't be.
It is.
It was Konami original.
I believe
original.
It is.
I'll do that song
again.
Yeah,
I believe it is.
And we'll start with that. And if I feel pretty good, maybe I'll try to get up to max 300 and then maybe start to explore your set list a little bit there. But it's going to be, you know, because, yeah, you look at a lot of these YouTubes, you look at stuff, and now it's other 24-year-olds that were the age we were when we started. And it's just like, if I show up there and start busting out those moves and that song, they're going to be like, who the fuck is this old man? And where did he learn to play this game? And it's like, bitch, I was here first.
I will say this, you know, at least at the location near me, you know, new people come up all the time. So, true. And of all ages,
yeah.
I actually, one of the last times I went before, you know, this latest COVID wave started, there was, you know, someone with kids and a mom, and she got up on the other side with me. She wanted to try it out. So I took her through her first set, and I love doing this because, you know, I just love introducing the game to new people. And she, I usually, you know, they do the tutorial, and then she picked it up really quick. So I think we went straight to a 2 and she passed it, and then a 3, a 4. And I think we played a 5 on extra stage, and she almost got through it all the way without four misses.
Not bad.
So she did pretty phenomenal for first time on there. And yeah,
you know
it was,
what I
it was
used
pretty sweet.
You know what I used to do while we are, and I should do this. Okay, this is what I'll do, because I used to do when I would go play DDR in a new city where people wouldn't know me. I would put in like, or hadn't seen me before. I would put in the money and I would play like for my first song. I'd play like an erotic song on the band. I would play, because, you know, I love them. I would play on basic, like, you know, a 2-footer or a 3-footer. I'd play that. And then I'd play. And so people would be like, oh, look at this guy playing
it's
out the
noob.
Bass. And then for my last song, I'd bust out the Hypnotic Crisis or the Orion 7-8 Civ mix or one of those like 9-footers, Afronova or something. I don't remember if that was a 9, but I would bust out one of those like way harder songs and just blow through it and then just be like, eh, okay.
You.
Gotcha. And that was fun to do. Wow, this game's really
confuses
fun.
People. Excellent. But yeah, if anyone is curious about this set, I'm actually going to stream, because tomorrow's the last day of the month and also I don't have to work. So I'm probably going to do a stream of DDR Grand Prix,
nice.
Probably around somewhere between 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern I'll start. And I'm going to play this set during my stream tomorrow.
Awesome.
So I'll probably stream for about an hour. And yeah, I'll clip it and probably link it on the Discord so that everybody can get a look at it.
All right, please do. I love the challenge, YYR. We'll see what happens. Cross your fingers that we get that stinking round one already, because the Dave and Buster's here, not very good. It's the smallest one in the entire chain, with the exception of Times Square is smaller. That's it. It's
The Times Square one is not very big,
but it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, of course it's not going to be very big. They probably got to pay 10 times more in rent than all the other locations.
Yeah. So, but round one will be a game changer when that opens. So, all right.
It's great. And you know what? I will mention, so the new version, Ace 3, is starting to roll out.
Oh.
Currently, it's on the gold cabs, but the peasants with all the other cabs have to wait until, I'm guessing, July, because that's what they did with Ace 2-0 when it came out. So, probably July. And, there's a lot of, you know, features of the game, things like extra stage, 0.25 and 0.75 speed mods, things that are locked out unless you play premium play, which in Japan costs a little bit more and you have to pay with their funny money, Paselli.
Yeah.
And up to this point, you know, because round one, all the round one locations have one of these gold cabs running the Japanese version of DDR. Mm-hmm. But up until this point, because it was a Japanese cab, you could not use the premium play mode because it required Paselli. Mm-hmm. Starting with Ace 3, they're allowing Japanese version cabs that are outside of Japan, where Paselli is disabled, to pay with premium play with coins.
Oh.
So for the first time ever, you can now actually get extra stage, the unlocks. You can play the Dan courses, the skill courses, which get progressively more difficult.
Huh.
You can finally do those things in America.
That's
so
cool.
on a gold cab. So it'll be even better to have the round one when it does finally open.
All right. Well, I can't wait for that day to come. YYR, thank you so much for calling in. And again, I encourage everyone, I know you didn't come to shill your wares tonight, but I'm going to do it for you. I would encourage everyone to check out Falling Plus, just came out on Xbox One. So check that out over at, you got to search for YYR Games or Falling Plus, or just, you know, check out yyrgames.com and all the latest stuff that you're working on and all that good stuff. So yeah, support your neighborhood indie developer.
Thank you.
All right.
And I look forward to Ranma calling in next week to whine about this.
Sounds good. Let him.
I'll be here to hear that.
All right. Take care, YYR.
Come on out.
Great to have you.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, have a great week.
You too. Bye. All right. Always good to hear from YYR here at Orange Lounge Radio. Let's check in with Loki to see if there's any last minute stories tonight.
Nope. There is nothing.
Wow, you're boring. No, I'm just kidding. I know we...
It's a slow news
week,
boring week.
With Memorial Day and everything, it's, you know, it's moving into the summer. It's that time of year, so it is what it is. But things are going to start to pick up. you know, we got State of Play next week, so it's gonna get quiet
before the storm.
Yeah. Quickly, I'll let SG100 Matt have this question, and then we'll wrap up. SG100 Matt says, "Here's a question: is there a gaming memory out there that reminds you of summer? For example, a game that you played the hell out of over the summer when school was out?
Is Frogger on roller skates?
What on roller skates?
Frogger, Frogger arcade machine.
Oh wow,
on roller skates.
Okay."
Summer's going to the Bobaloo roller rink in Dothan, Alabama. And the thing is that Bob, it was named after Bob and his wife. And Bob was a friend of my granddaddy.
Oh.
So I used to always go and talk to Bob. And he'd give me like a dollar in quarters. And I would play a few rounds of Frogger on roller skates. And to this day, the only way I can really play Frogger well is on roller skates.
I remember at Roller King out in Roseville where I grew up, I played Spy Hunter in roller skates. I don't know if that's not really a summer memory in particular. I'm trying to think of a summer memory and I'm coming up short. I gotta be honest. I can't think of anything I really like super associate with summer. I'm sure there are plenty of video games when I was younger, but I would play video games every day. I wouldn't let the school week stop me. I don't know, Loki, you have a summer memory?
I mean, recent, well, not recent. I don't know, DDR, I guess. I don't really have anything that...
kinda.
I mean, no, I didn't really have anything in particular that... It would always change, too. I mean, it's whatever games were out at the time. You know, we'd go rent stuff at Blockbuster or something like that. Yeah, don't really have anything.
All of mine just have to do with being in Dothan, so a lot of Sky Shark and Dr. Mario.
I got one for an answer because, you know, when I was very, very young, I played a lot of Commodore 64, and one game that I used to love to play was Summer Games 2. So they couldn't call it Olympics because they didn't have that license, but wink wink nudge nudge, it was just an Olympic game. It had all the same things, and there was a Summer Games 1, but we had Summer Games 2. I think we got the Summer Games 1 eventually, but Summer Games 2 was the one that I played a lot. And then there was Winter Games, but that's not a summer game. So yeah, I used to play the hell out of all those games. So like Epics, and that actually led to, because those games series led to World Games and California Games, and I think people might know those because some of those, one of those California Games, I think it was on NES, as well as some other platforms. So that's like summer and winter games were the predecessors to those games. So times. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts and wrap up for the night. But I do want to say thank you, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, whether you were here tonight on a three-day holiday weekend, or if you were listening on the podcast feed through one of your favorite podcast apps like Spotify, iTunes, wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Thank you for checking us out. If you enjoyed what you heard, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here to put out on air. We're hitting 20 years old, if you can believe it or not, later next month. And we hope to see you here. June 26th.
Get off my lawn and give me some Geritol.
That's right. That's right. Let's go around and give everybody's final thought. Dark Sakura, what is your final thought tonight?
I'm actually kind of glad to be starting early because then I can end early. Because my ass is working tomorrow. But let's hear it for double and a half pay, right?
Hell yeah, for holiday pay. All right. Have a good night, Darsagra.
Later, taters.
Later. And Loki, your final thought.
I have a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it in.
Isn't that always the struggle?
It is always the struggle.
My final thought. I'm very thankful for a day off tomorrow. And I of course, recall the reasons for it. So I am mindful of that as well. But I'm thankful to just have a day of rest tomorrow. I don't really have a plan, which is kind of nice. I didn't really want to travel. I just kind of wanted to relax, especially after hosting a show last night. I know whenever I do that, I'm putting myself a little more at risk for COVID. So I like to just take it easy for a few days to make sure, I'm doing okay. So, I'm thankful for a day off, and I am very thankful for the show hosting stuff. Has been going very well. We had a really awesome show last night. It was a pride based cabaret. And I always love when I get to host celebrities like, you know, I did John Waters a few months ago. But this week we had Samwell, who is best known for his YouTube classic, What in the Butt, was performing at the show. And I love hosting celebrities like that because they know they don't think they're anything bigger than what they are. You know what I mean? He's a very humble guy and just there to have fun. And that's what I love about it. That's what it should be.
Does he have any other songs?
He does. He did a whole little mini concert of like five songs or something like that. So, but they're all like Loki. I don't know if they're all like gay. They're all gay sex songs. I don't think you'd necessarily be into them. But
I'm shocked.
Our crowd was super into it.
His content.
So what was it like? Dirty Filthy Boy or something like that is his latest single. Sorry, Samuel. I butchered the name. I just couldn't remember in the moment. But yeah. So. But they're all, it could be in DDR. It's all like that's, you know what? You cannot sit here and be like, I loved all those DDR songs back in the day and then think like, oh, but I'm too good for Samwell. No.
Exactly.
No.
I songs mean, come on. We used to have, was it the Alligator Project songs in there?
Oh, yeah. Like, Blow My Whistle, Bitch. Come on. Is that really any better lyrically than what in the butt? Come on. All right. Anyway. On that lovely note, happy Memorial Day. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all again. Thank you for being here. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.